At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis, who is extremely generous to comment on this variety of candidates stretching over Central America to South America. We go to Argentina now. The major election this year in all of the Americas is Argentina. And the candidates are lining up now with changes routinely. I get lost. For example, the polls now say the two leading candidates are opposition bloc candidates. Former Security Minister Patricia Bullrich and Buenos Aires Mayor Horacio Larreta. These candidates, I guess everybody's a Peronista, are seen as running ahead of the Fernandez is not running for re-election, and his vice president, Kirchner, is disallowed because of a conviction. Their candidate is Economy Minister Massa, Sergio Massa. Before my scorecard gets all messed up, Evan, and I mark everything down, the opposition is running well. Is that a surprise in Argentina?
It's not at all a surprise, John. You have just massive problems, not only long-standing frustration with corruption, but also with the state of the Argentine economy, where you have inflation, which is now well over 100%. You have risk of currency default and trying to renegotiate IMF deals. You've had massive droughts, which have created not only currency earnings problems, but other problems for the agricultural sector, which has been one of the powerful sectors in the Argentine economy. So you've had many, many reasons for discontent. It was actually because of that discontent that the sitting president, Alberto Fernandez, decided not to run. And ironically, it was because of corruption charges, which have really dogged the Peronists, that the vice president, Cristina Fernandez, decided not to run, which basically left the current coalition, the Frente para Todos, really much wide open. So Argentina is in a situation similar to Mexico in that they're in their pre-primary phase right now, where multiple candidates of multiple different parties are posturing. They're going to have a big nationwide, essentially primary, where everyone can vote for everyone's candidate, called El Paso, in about 2 months here. And then that will decide the final phase going into the October election. But as you pointed out, you have just a number of people across the spectrum. Again, a more moderate person within Peronismo, who is kind of the last man standing, although there are technically others, Sergio Massa, who is the current economy minister trying to negotiate his way out of this fiscal mess, is probably the leading candidate for the left. In terms of the center-right, you have some of the more establishment candidates for a coalition that's called Together for Change, Juntos para el Cambio, and those are the ones that you mentioned. The former National Security Minister, Patricia Bullrich, who is seen as relatively charismatic, kind of a straight shooter, somebody who got things done during her time. At the same time, you also have a charismatic Buenos Aires Mayor, Horacio Larreta. They are collectively pulling far ahead of where the Peronists are polling, again, for good reasons. But the other candidate who had emerged kind of from the pack, he was the dark horse candidate, but became popular because he was saying something new, is the libertarian candidate, Javier Milei. And again, he's talking about dollarizing the Argentine economy, basically pegging it to the dollar to try to fight inflation. He's talking about shutting down the central bank. Although initially he jumped up in the polls, some of his proposals are seen as maybe a little bit too radical for Argentines, and he really doesn't have as strong of a base in terms of congressional and other prospects. And so he's recently been sinking in the polls. He's about 17%, whereas at one time people were talking about the front runner. But, it's going to be an exciting race in Argentina. And again, it's important to understand that in Argentina, the possibility of a return to a center-right coalition in this very important country could be one of the first returns to the right that we've seen in Latin America in the past couple of years.
Quickly, I mentioned that Chinese warships are making port calls in West Africa. Nigeria is mentioned. Entering into the South Atlantic now and again. No basing as of yet. Has China made its warships or in some fashion Chinese military made a presence in Argentina, or is it all banking? We have about a minute.
Well, while there hasn't been a permanent presence, China has had a strong relationship with Argentina in political and economics and military terms. In military terms, you have periodic transits of Chinese warships. There was a relatively significant transit back in 2013. Probably of greater note, China established a space base in Ushuaia for basically doing space signaling. There's some talk that it's building a private port that could be used for military purposes in Tierra del Fuego, which could allow, in times of war, Chinese warships to potentially observe or block access to the Straits of Magellan. You have a lot of purchases of Chinese military equipment being discussed, including the JF-17 or FC-1 fighter, which, if approved, would be the most advanced Chinese fighter sold to the region, which would be sold to Argentina. And then you have big deals that continue to go on in soy, in lithium, in infrastructure projects, in oil, and just in a range of other sectors. So the relationship with China is very, very important, including in the financial sector.
Professor Avenelis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, the Latin American Research Professor. This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.